Welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host, the Investor Coach. This is It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And that's, in fact, what we endeavor to do whenever I come on and do a podcast. It's been a little while. This being summer and vacation months, I hope this has been a wonderful summer for you, and you've had opportunity to enjoy that with your family, friends, and loved ones. I know I certainly have enjoyed this summer, although it has been a little weird in the weather category in beautiful Happy Valley. That's in State College, Pennsylvania. And I wanted to share a couple thoughts with you today, rather briefly. One is going to be the market update as of beginning of August, which has just been pretty good lately. As well, a little nugget of news that I think could be the kernel of a whole lot of information about what may be happening forward or what might be our next bubble. What's the next bubble that's coming up? Well, we believe in an academic approach to investing. No one knows what's going to happen in the market moving forward, and anyone that implies to say that they know or implies that they know is either ignorant or deceitful. Because anyone that has any insight as to what is going to happen in the market moving forward certainly would have no motivation to share it if they knew what was going to happen. And so they could just be, on the beach trading a few hours in the morning, and that's all they would need to do. But the fact of the matter is all knowable information is factored in to the current prices of goods and services, and the only thing that changes those prices is new and unknowable information that comes to light. And that information, ladies and gentlemen, comes to light at the same time for all of us. Or if you happen to get your hands on some of that information earlier, that would be in the insider trading arena, which is illegal. So what am I saying? That the market is not predictable. There's only three rules that guide the market. That is own equities, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, rebalance, and diversify. And that really is the secret to investing in the market. And by the way, in the form of just a quick, shameless bit of self-promotion, I encourage you to go check out our website. We have been revamping it, and it's in the beta stage right now. FAICoach.com. FAI, Financial Abundance Incorporated, FAICoach.com. And you can actually request some free resources that we have available on the website now. So take advantage of those and use those in good health. I wish you well with those. Let me go ahead and get into the market update. Again, this is Paul Nichols, the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm here in Happy Valley, State College, Pennsylvania. And I have my radio hat on today, i.e. the podcast, as I am sharing with you right here. And let's get into it. Market update as of August 7th. So ladies and gentlemen, this would be the different areas of the market, different index or indice, plural, different areas of the market that would replicate those areas of the market and how they're doing year to date for 2013. See, what happens is by doing this market update, we can give you a very solid idea of how the market, the global marketplace, is doing up to this point in the year. And I hope that you're in all the areas we're talking about and not doing what most managers are doing, chasing U.S. large, because right now U.S. large is up. And that can be a little bit misleading, which I will be talking about in a future clarity coaching session. But for now, let's focus on the market and real estate, a couple tidbits on real estate. So let's talk about the first index, which is the Russell 2500. This is a market update as of August 7th, 2013, business close. I'm recording this on the 8th. Russell 2500 index measures the performance of small to mid-size companies in the U.S., and it is smoking. Small U.S. growth companies, ladies and gentlemen, are just shy of 23% year-to-date. It's a beautiful thing. I hope you're in small. Let's go to the Russell 2000, which measures small to very small micro companies. And year-to-date, what we have is just shy of 24%. It's a beautiful thing. Russell 1000 Value Index, which measures the performance of large value, not growth companies, but value companies. Value companies would be considered unexcellent or distressed companies. Companies, like an old example, would be a Kmart over a Walmart. we should expect a higher return for investing in a Kmart, a company that's having some challenges, than a well-known growth company like Walmart. And the value index, ladies and gentlemen, is doing very well, 20.5%, over 20% year to date. Wow, these numbers are awesome. The Russell 2000 Value Index, this measures not large U.S. companies, but small U.S. value companies, and that's up a little over 21%. So respectively, in large and small value and growth companies, we're right at 20%. The one exception would be the largest of the U.S. growth companies, and that would be represented by the Standards and Poor's 500, S&P 500 index, and that's 18.5% year-to-date. So ladies and gentlemen, as of August 2013, in the domestic arena, the market across the board is about 20% in the green. It is a beautiful thing. I hope that you're getting some of it, and I hope that you're rebalancing into other areas of the market that aren't growing, because it will turn. It will turn. Something else will be hot later, and I hope that you own it. That's the academic approach to investing. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, so the prudent play would be to own everything and practice what Harry Markowitz, the godfather of modern portfolio, coined as dissimilar price movement. Ladies and gentlemen, you just don't want to own umbrella companies. You want to own umbrella companies and sun lotion companies because they move opposite of one another, which brings me to the international arena of the marketplace. We're going to use the Morgan Stanley Capital International Index to measure that. The World Index, which measures developed markets like Canada, Belgium, Austria, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, etc., is year-to-date 13.5%. So we're double digits in developed markets. When we go to the emerging markets, which would not be the developed markets, but emerging markets, these would be countries like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Morocco, Peru, Philippines, South Africa, Thailand, Turkey, etc. That is the only asset class, the only area that's in the negative, and it's down double digits. It's down 11%. Now here's the thing. Let me do a little coaching here. The market right now, and most managers are chasing U.S. large, which is what they always do. From an academic perspective, U.S. large should be the smallest weighting in your portfolio other than cash. And what's interesting, we see this all the time. Right now, U.S. Large is up, and so most of people's portfolios out there are up, and they're happy about that. But ladies and gentlemen, if any other area of the market was up, you wouldn't be getting these 20% returns. And that makes sense. You got to realize that in a well-diversified portfolio, at any given time, there's going to be parts of your portfolio that have mundane growth and mundane earnings. That just tells you that it's well-balanced. So there's a lot of money managers right now that are not rebalancing into international and losing tremendous value when it's down like it is. And that brings us to the last international index, the Morgan Stanley Capital International IFA. That represents Europe, Australia, and the Far East. This would be basically your developed markets, excluding U.S. and Canada, and that's just shy of 10%. So year-to-date, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing extremely well, 20% across the board in the domestic U.S. markets, basically double digits in the emerging double-digit negative in the emerging, positive in the developed, and the Europe, Australia, and Far East also is just shy of double-digit to the positive. So the market's up. It's a beautiful thing. I hope you're getting it all. I hope you're rebalancing. I hope you're diversifying. I hope you're doing the right things. If you don't know what the right thing is, go to our website, and there's a quiz you can take, an investor quiz. There's 20 questions that are all very important to understand the answers to, and there's resources to help you answer those on the website as well. With that being said, let me segue to another area. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal, and this is as of Thursday 8th, and I did a little reading in the journal, as I do on a fairly frequent basis, and I noticed something that was interesting, and I noticed this before on a previous podcast. I had mentioned it, and that is Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, you know, they just came in at a $5 billion quarterly earnings, which is mind-boggling because the last quarter was $3 billion. They're doing extremely well. Now, what does that tell me? Well, what that tells me It's interesting. We have all this quantitative easing. For those of you that aren't technical financially, all that means is the government's pouring a lot of money into the system. This has held interest rates down and supposedly inflation, etc. But what's happened along the way here is the market has been propped up a bit by that because it's, you got all the money going into the system. And what's happened is as gold has dropped and the market's gone up, people have a situation where they have cash on their hand. They have monies, and they're like, well, where do I put it? I'm afraid to put it in the market after 08, or maybe it's not time yet, or whatever the case is. And what I find, based on the stats and what I'm reading around the country, is a lot of people that are starting to put it into real estate. And I think that's great. However, I would caution people to simply ask one question whenever you go to look at buying a piece of real estate that would be other than your primary home in the investment arena or a second home, and even in your primary home. And that is to ask yourself, what is the yield? What is the yield on real estate? Because I'm concerned there's a lot of people throwing money at real estate, believing that there's a lot of great buys out there, and they're not really asking what the yield is. Now, if someone wanted to go out and in a market that supposedly is down right now, and that's relative, that depends on buyers, et cetera, but the market's down in the real estate arena, so people are looking for deals, and they go buy a piece thinking that it's an investment property, and they really don't crunch all the numbers and say, hey, what's the end game? Because, when I've looked at most people and talked to them about yield on their real estate, first of all, they look at me with their head cocked a little bit. What's this guy talking about, yield on my real estate? Well, if you're going to tie up most of your money in your home, which is what most people do, I mean, they tie up most of their money in two areas, either the 401k, IRAs, et cetera, or in their home, and they most people try, but the system is skewed against them as it relates to managing their 401k, and they have no idea they should be managing the cash in their home. And when I ask most people, what's the yield on your real estate? Again, most people look at me quizzically. But when I say to them, and I coach them up a little bit and say, well, basically, real estate yield is inflation. See, a house does not appreciate based on the value of the home going up. I mean, the day after you buy the thing, it starts to age and wear. No. See, a house's appreciation is not a result of the house becoming worth more. It's a result of the dollar becoming worth less. If most people realized that inflation is really what you get in most property situations. Now, there's investment properties. You buy it right. You're a really good steward. You manage your nickels, dimes, and quarters. You do good work on vetting people out before you rent to them and all that. I mean, there are people that do well in that. But I will tell you, shy of those people that make a career out of it, there's not too many people that do. They would be better off in a well-diversified portfolio unless the real estate had some other reason. For example, we bought a place so our kids could live there while they're going to college, or we have a second home and our family goes there, or whatever. All I'm saying, and I want to kind of make this real simple not to confuse people, what most people think about the rules and the stewardship of real estate in most cases are wrong. And I'll just leave you with one question and let you ponder the answer to this question, and that is, does equity, the cash that one has tied up in their home, does equity earn a rate of return? See, if you have a $100,000 house and you have it hocked to the gills, meaning you owe $100 on it, and property appreciation is 5% to the good this year, in essence, inflation was 5. If property appreciation is 5% to the good, then what you have is you've gained $5,000 in appreciation. Well, if you had the $100,000 house paid off, you would still end up with the same appreciation. So equity, ladies and gentlemen, has no rate of return. What does that mean? That means the cash that we have tied up in our home does not earn anything. It just keeps up with inflation, that is, home appreciation. Now, am I saying not to pay off your house and do that? That's not what I'm implying at all. I'm simply seeing a lot of money head toward real estate, especially international money coming in. And I would just caution people that are looking for places to put their money to simply ask themselves and make sure they get some counsel and some coaching in this arena. Because I'll tell you what, you get in the ether about getting a second home or something. You kind of get all in the ether about, wow, that's going to be exciting to have a place and all that, or maybe an investment property and get cash flow from that. Ladies and gentlemen, once you're in it, the ether wears off. I've often said to people, you know, when people buy a home, it's an emotional decision. But when they go to sell it, it's a business decision. And it's interesting because I see this influx of money heading toward the real estate. And that may be, in fact, the right thing to do in the final analysis. But to me, personally, being one that really likes to take a prudent, well-educated academic stand toward things, one might speculate and prognosticate that perhaps we may be heading for a real estate bubble. But who's to say? Word to the wise, a little caution. Hey, if you don't have a coach coaching you up on a regular basis, if you don't have a wealth coach, a financial coach, reach out to us. If you're not in our area, there's a good chance we can introduce you to someone in your area that does wealth coaching, that looks at things academically, that'll help you get your life in order, help you deal with the money demons that we all deal with, so we can start to understand our true purpose for money. You know, investing is not that difficult if it wasn't for the people. It's interesting. Like most things, you know, I'm sure what you do for a living, your vocation, your occupation would probably be a lot easier if it wasn't for the people. But you know what? That's what makes it great. It's a beautiful thing. The diversity, the spice of life. Anyway, Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain, exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope you enjoyed our market update, and you should be getting it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're getting market returns. And let me just caution you about the real estate. And if you need more coaching on this, go to our website. You can reach out to us, and you can request a session potentially and see if we can get you coached up, or we can refer you to someone that potentially can coach you up. With that being said, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about financial abundance and myself, go to FAICoach.com, or here's a direct toll-free number, 866-867-5745. 866-867-5745. Paul Nichols, the investor coach. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.